Thank you so much for joining us for our TPA, Terrace Pentecostal Online Service. I regret that last week I wasn't here. I missed you guys very much. And I wanted to share a few insights, some thoughts, some ideas about my experience up north. I went up to the Yukon to speak at a men's retreat last weekend, and I've got a couple slides here to show you of what I was able to experience. And where I went to was Camp Yukon, which is near Atlin, BC, and it's actually one of the only places left on the planet where it's actually off the grid, so your cell phone doesn't work. It's just a boat anchor, and it's powered by a generator, so we don't actually have electricity at that camp. So we had a lot of fun just off the grid hanging out together. And the first slide here shows you on the left-hand side is my good friend Blaine Mason. He actually housed me and my boys when we went up there. We slept at his house. And in the middle, we see a good friend of mine, Mike Thomas. Now, Blaine is a worship leader at the church up north. And if you were to hear him playing, he actually sounds like Third Day. He's a great musician. And my good friend Mike here, when Almley and I first moved to Whitehorse, I was running the youth ministry, and there was just this youth kind of running around near where we lived, and we said, hey, why don't you come hang out with us at youth group? So he came and he hanged out. He got saved. He got baptized. He went off to Summit Pacific College. So Mike's a great guy. We love him. In the second slide here, you can see, again, my good friend Blaine on the left-hand side, and then my friend Tom on the right-hand side. And Tom and Blaine and a few others of us, we all seem to have kids at the same time of the season. We all seem to grow up together, and we were in youth ministry. So we had about five couples that were running the youth ministry, and we had used some of the youth ministry budget to pay for babysitters. So these five couples would run youth ministry, and then we would hang out after and go out for meals and get to know each other. So just some really deep connections. Tom now is speaking. He's at the Foursquare Church now up there in the Yukon. So wonderful guy. We love him. And the last slide here I want to show you. So it might be hard to kind of tell what's happening because it was late at night. It was dark out. And we had a pork roast, and we also had a moose roast on a rotisserie over the fire because it was cold out. Honestly, it was like -5 at night, and during the day it was zero, so there wasn't a lot of fish being caught, but somebody got a moose at least, so we had some meat to eat. So, wow, we ate well. It was a great time of fellowship. Had a wonderful time speaking to, you know, about 20 or 30 guys and just loving on them, so thank you so much for always letting me leave every once in a while and going and pouring into and investing in other people. Now, today I want to look into a story that we've been following in 1 Samuel. I got this idea of a message, and then as I looked at it, all of a sudden the series started to come out. So if we looked at about 3 weeks ago, you could go back and look on YouTube and find it. You could see I spoke on David and Nabal. And then 2 weeks ago, I spoke on living free. And then today, I want to speak on a spiritual covering over ourselves, over our community. I want to look at a thought around that. And it comes out of the same scriptures, 1 Samuel chapter 25. And so let me just pray before we jump into the story that God would just bless our time together. So just bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Father, we thank you for this time together. God, we thank you for your word that has so much truth in it. We thank you that it changes our being, changes us from the inside out. God, we want to meet with you today in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you've been tracking with this series, again, we're on point number 3 of the series. In this story, we see that King Saul is chasing after David, young David. We see that David is, you know, he gets tired after a while. He kind of rests and he sends out 10 of his men to go to a close relative to ask for some provisions because they don't really have a house. They don't have a home. They're just kind of running away from Saul and they need some supplies. So they send these 10 men out to Nabal. Nabal says to these 10 men of David's, I'm not giving you a nickel. I'm not going to give you anything. Who are you? Get off my property. Now, during that conversation, one of Nabal's servants overhears Nabal talking to David's men. And the servant runs to Nabal's wife, Abigail, and begins to tell Abigail what Nabal, her husband, said to the 10 servants. So Nabal just kind of mouths off David's servants, and the servant of Nabal goes and tells his wife. And this is where we pick up the story now. The servant is telling Abigail about how Nabal was so foolish towards David's servants. He was just being, you know, ridiculous and not giving him anything. So again, this is where we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 25, jumping in verse 18. It says, Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, which is a bushel, or it's 37 liters of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. She then told her servants, go on ahead, I'll follow you. But she did not tell her husband, Nabal. I don't think that would have went over super well when he just told him to get out of here. And now she was taking a bunch of the provisions and going to give it to him. Verse 20, as she came riding her donkey into the mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her, and she met him there. Now, as we take a closer look at this, I just want to kind of dissect verse by verse and just look at what was happening here. So we see, first of all, in verse 18, it said, Abigail lost no time. Abigail responded immediately. And I know when we come to Christ, we come to our lives, we come to situations, and God is prompting us to do something. He wants us to do it quickly. He wants us to do it immediately. He wants us to not waste time. If you remember in our series, we talked about Abigail. Who is this woman? You know, it says in verse 3 here of chapter 25, it says that she was a very intelligent woman and she was very beautiful. So she takes her intelligence here and responds very, very quickly. It says that Abigail recognizes who David is through the stories that were going around. Now, David was a man who was slaying giants. He was running around. People kind of heard stories about David, that he was anointed to be the next king. And Abigail, in her wisdom, goes, if this is an anointed man of God, we better take some notice of him and be respectful towards him. So she used her wisdom and she responded quickly and without delay. Now, is Pastor Rob saying something like this to us? Hey, in life, when we feel a need or something that we want, we should respond quickly and without delay. And I'm saying to wives and to husbands, like, hey, just go out and do it and don't tell your husband or your wife. That is not the message of today. I wouldn't want your husband or wife to come home and say, Pastor Rob said do it quickly, so I went out and I saved us $500, even though I had to spend thousands of dollars on this item that, you know, I needed. So let's not do that. That's not what I'm saying here. We need to be, you know, husbands and wives and communicating with each other. But in this particular story, anyways, that she responded quickly to what she felt was the right thing to do, to be obedient and do it quickly. If we were to see in the book of Proverbs, a book that gives us a lot of wisdom and guidance. It says here in verse 4 of Proverbs chapter 12, a wife of noble character is your husband's crown. So if our husband or wife has done something foolish, which we've all done, let's be honest, this is our opportunity to respond in love and to be a crown and to cover over our husband and our wife in maybe something that they've done that was foolish. So I want to take that thought a bit deeper, in a sense that, you know, we see David as an Old Testament type and shadow or a representation of Jesus, of God. And then we see Nabal here as a person that's just a human who's foolish, he's done something wrong. And we see Abigail come in here, come in between the two of them, and really cover over Nabal and his foolishness and his mistake. She fills in the gap and she intercedes on his behalf, on his foolishness. Now, let's just take that a little bit further, in a sense that when you and I live our lives and we come to God, and you and I have been foolish and we've been sinful and we've done wrong things, we have Jesus come in between that, in between God and us, and he intercedes on our behalf. And by the blood that he shed on the cross, he covers over us. Isn't that a majestic thought? Isn't that just wonderful to think about, that Abigail is covering over her husband's foolish decision? And often we're called to that. We're called to kind of rise up as a church. We're called to rise up as Christians. As we see our children, oh man, when they do foolish things and as they make mistakes, we don't get mad at them. Abigail had every reason. She could have got mad at her husband. What are you doing, you fool? But instead, she responds in wisdom, in intelligence, and she covers over those mistakes. So you and I are in the same way, are called to cover over our families, cover over our children, even really to cover over our community. Churches and terrorists are here for a reason, to cover over the sinfulness of our community, all the wrongdoing, all the foolish decisions that are being made, all these stores that seem to keep opening up that are totally contrary to the Word of God. And we see we're called to cover over that. I really want to challenge us as people of God, as a church, that I don't want to just wait around until something happens. You know, sometimes we wait for the 24-hour prayer and fast that happens, you know, annually or semi-annually. I love those times. I think there's a purpose in them, and I think they're an exciting time to get together and just pray and fast and really take 24 hours and invest in that time. But I think we're called to do that on a consistent basis, to cover over, to pray over our family, to pray over our community, and to just bless them in the name of Jesus. And as a church, we do this often every Thursday. Thursday at noon, we're meeting, we're praying, and we're fasting as a group of people. And I honestly had a vision of that room. We've cleaned up this back room here. If you were here in the sanctuary in the back corner here, we've got a prayer room. And when I moved here, I kind of had a vision that this room would be bustling, would be bursting with people. Now, I know with restrictions, some of us aren't able to come, and I appreciate that. But we can still pray and fast at home. We can still pray and fast in our workplaces. We can still pray and fast wherever we are. And I believe that as we do that, we will cover over all of these things in our community. We want change in our community. Well, where is it going to start? It's going to start by you and I taking it seriously and helping cover over the mistakes that people have made. It would be way too easy to just talk about, well, look at all the mistakes in our community. Look at all the sins in our community. That's easy. But what are we going to do about it? And Abigail was somebody with intelligence, with wisdom, and she did something about it. She did it quickly, she did it without haste, and she did it with purpose and passion, and I love that about her. So we see here, if we continue the story, we were to read in verse 18 and 19, we see the story. It says, Abigail took 200 loaves of bread and wine sheep and all kinds of grain and cakes of figs and pressed down raisins. We see all these things that she brought to David. She brought her best to the table. She took some of the best things. You know, when David had his 10 men go and ask Nabal, just ask him for a little bit of stuff. Ask him for a little bit of bread and a little bit of water and maybe some meat. And what she brings in return is the best, the choice. Because she not only brings bread and meat and water, but she actually brings raisins and figs. This is like their sweet meat back in the day. This is like the choice. You know, you'd only put that out at special occasions. Like, this is the good stuff. You know, not even just water. Like, she didn't bring water. She brought, like, the choice, like, wine of the day. You're going to have all the best that things have to offer. So I just love that about Abigail. She brought the best to David. And how do we bring our best to God? And I really think one way we bring our best to God is when we pray and fast to God. We thank God for what he's done in our lives. And we just pray and we intercede on others' behalfs, on other people's behalf, sorry, other people's mistakes. We just want to lift that up to the Lord and take some ownership of it. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 25, let's continue to read. We're going to jump in at verse 20. As she was riding her donkey into the mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending toward her, and she met them there. And David had just said, "It's been useless all my watching over this fellow's property in the desert so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him." Now, in our series last Sunday, we talked about that a few Sundays ago, but let's continue to read. Now, let's look at a few more in verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "My Lord, let the blame be on me alone. Let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say." Do you see Abigail here doesn't turn to David and go, "I know my husband is a bozo. I know he's a fool. I know that we have all these problems." What she does is she takes some ownership upon herself and she offers it to him. He says, "Why don't you let the blame be on me?" Does that an imagery of when we think about Jesus? Jesus took all of our foolishness. He took all of our sin. He took upon it himself. He didn't come down to earth and look up at God and say, "God, look at all these fools down here. Look at all these, you know, idiots down here." He said, "God, let all of their sin be upon me and let me take that to the cross." Abigail is an Old Testament example of that. Isn't that just fascinating to think about? I love that. Now she says, "My Lord, let all this blame be on me. Let my husband's faults be on me and let me cover over him." Oh, what a great thought. I want to share a personal story with you about my own life. Now, you've been kind of hearing pieces of it. And honestly, since I moved here, the Lord continues to reveal more and more of my history that I honestly wasn't clear on. So when I grew up in Prince Rupert as a young person, at about the age of 14, my parents got divorced for many different reasons. I tried to live with my mom for a little while, and that didn't pan out, so she actually asked me to leave the house. I tried to live with my dad and my stepsister. It was just a really hard time in my life, so I actually just went, and I lived on the street in a sense. I couch surfed. It's not like surfing the internet's fun, like a couch surfing, not very fun. And I finally ran into a friend of mine, Derek Cormandy, who I did talk about a month ago. I ran into in Prince Rupert. He's older. He's a firefighter at the Prince Rupert Fire Department. He's a great guy. We were just sharing stories and talking about our lives. And if you can imagine, you have to put yourself in the shoes of Derek's mom, Marianne Cormandy. So just think about this. Me and Derek are good friends. We're teenagers. Now, his mother lost a husband in a workplace accident. So you have a single mom with a teenage son. And honestly, a preteen daughter, Tanya. There was this young girl, Tanya. And Derek says to you, your son says to you, "Hey, can we invite this street boy, this teenage boy, who we don't know very well, can we invite him to live with us now?" Now, I don't know how you're responding. I remember I can picture this now, actually. Marianne's room was upstairs, and my room was actually right next to her room. I thought there was probably some wisdom in that. And Derek and Tanya lived in the basement. Now, you got to remember, at my age, I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm just telling you facts. So when I was young at that age, you know, I was angry at the world. I was frustrated. I was doing drugs and alcohol. I was not a good boy. And for some reason, I did not ever lay, this is just facts again, I'm not saying I wish I had, but I never touched Tanya. Never did anything wrong to Tanya. And I always wondered, I thought, isn't that interesting? Because to the rest of the world, and the rest of people I encountered, I would take advantage of them. And when I think about it in this light, after I read this story, as I moved here to Terrace and I shared that story with the senior social, the seniors tea, one of the ladies, the workers there said, "Do you know what? Marianne actually lives right now at Terrace View Lodge. And why don't you go visit her?" And when I went to visit her, she's in the copper side, which is in the side that's, you know, you're having a hard time communicating, having a hard time taking care of yourself. And I went in there, and everybody just was kind of blank staring. And the worker went over to Marianne, said, "Marianne, Rob Young is here to see you." And she just lit up. You know, she knew who I was. She couldn't say anything, but you could see her body language saying, "I know this boy." And what I got to realize, and as I met with Marianne's brothers and sisters, is they said that Marianne was a Christian. And I just pictured that just in that moment. I just thought, Marianne brought me into her house, a lost boy, a lost, sinful, foolish boy. And because of her faithfulness to God, she adopted me and covered over me. And that house was covered over, and I was blessed because of that. And I really believe I'm standing here today because of a great example of a Christian in Marianne Cormody. I always say, people, we need more Mariannes in the world. Now, I'm not challenging all of us to take a street boy into your house. I understand the dynamics of that. But what a wonderful thought to think that Marianne was able to cover over my sins, and that it was a safe place and that was a safe house for me to live. I just have so many fond memories of that. Everywhere else I stayed, I don't really have great memories of, but in that household, there was something in that house that was a great memory. And I just got to know that information. So that's new information. Isn't that great how God works? So as a church, as a body of believers, I'm really calling us up to pray and to fast, really to, again, cover over those kind of situations, those kind of people. See, God is wanting us to bring our best to the table. And how do we do that? We see Abigail bringing some food, and we see her falling on her face before David, saying, God, David, have mercy on my husband. And since COVID's happened, we would see that in our community, and looking wherever you're listening, in your community, I'm sure it would be the same, that we see a rise in, you know, alcohol sales. We see a rise in drug sales. We see a rise in drug overdoses. We're seeing a rise in abuse in the homes. We're seeing a rise on pornography. And we're seeing a rise on just wickedness and evil. So how do we combat that? You know, it's nice to talk about, so we have that information, but what do we actually physically do about that? And I really believe, again, as a body of believers, we see here in 1 Samuel, we see in many stories people covering over and blessing and bringing their best to God. And I think we do that. One way that we do that is that we pray and we fast. So again, we leave the results up to the Lord, because I don't ever do this, like pray and fast. You say, oh, God, would you do this? God, would you do that? And then it doesn't happen. And then you're like, okay, God, what are you doing? No, no, no. It's about just bringing our best to God and saying, God, just have mercy and forgiveness. Then please, you know, forgive everything that they're doing. And we just come to you humbly and we leave the results to the Lord. We let the Lord do what he knows is best for that situation. But we bring our prayers and our petitions to God. We let God know what we're passionate about, what we're concerned about. God, we're concerned about this. We're passionate about what's happening. We want to see change in our family. We want to see change in our community. And I believe as we do that, we will see great things happen. We will see the kingdom of God advance. I think so often, and I'm guilty of this, is until sin really comes knocking at your door, until a problem comes really knocking at your door, when it comes knocking at your door, whoa, now you're praying, now you're fasting. But what happens in between those times? I believe we just still pray and we fast and we get passionate about following through with what God has put in our path. We see God in heaven. We see people on the earth like you and I. And we see Jesus humbly interceding on our behalf. Jesus giving up everything that he had so that we could be free. And we'd want to do the same for others. I really hope you would say amen. And I really hope that you would take prayer and fasting very seriously. In Jesus' name, I love you so much. It's wonderful to see you. Thank you so much for joining us online, whether you found us on Facebook or YouTube or our website. Have a wonderful and blessed week in Jesus' name.